So anyway, to the topic of the podcast today that we have on Is It Cool or Is It Nostalgia? We are going to be talking about old school arcade games. And I would like to first introduce the host of the podcast, Turtle. Turtle, hello. Hi.
He refuses this is to Turtle. Face he, anyone
he
but
refuses
you.
To face anybody. So yes, have you know you guys get to stare at the backside. Here you go. But anyway, hi, my name is Michael, and to my right is
Mike the Deuce.
The Deuce. And we have
Jeffrey
and
Andy.
All right. So here we are today to discuss if something is cool or nostalgic. We're all old men, and we have seen old arcade games.
Sir,
I'm just saying.
Excuse me.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be obvious to the crowd.
And I are very offended. Okay?
Yeah, it's like this is going to be pretty obvious to everybody out there. We have actually seen an arcade. We are old enough to have seen arcade games. Or older games in general, like that had pixelized graphics that aren't the newer stuff. And anyway, we all have at least some experience or a little bit of love in this area. So we're just going to talk about them. And for me, I'm going to do a little shilling, pretty much, to start with. I actually made one of these games. Actually, it is made to counter an old genre of video of the game I'm going to talk about. An old genre, I made it to be different because that whole genre was stuck in the mud, I thought, and made a newer style game but using older hardware. Called Vengeance Hunters, and I'll put it up on the screen here. So this is me shilling.
Wait a second.
Wait.
We should have been like, this episode sponsored by...
Yeah.
Yeah. This episode is sponsored by Vengeance Hunters.
Vengeance Hunters.
Yeah. We should have just eaten his pizza.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's like
sponsorship money. Yeah.
Yeah, we probably should have done that. But
it's all good.
Hey, we already did it. This episode is sponsored by Vengeance Hunters.
And
I'm not going to edit any of this. It's going to be all a screwing up.
But anyway, yes, the old school Neo Geo hardware, the ones saw in every...
That's all we're going to show about Vengeance Hunters? Hold on, let's hear the music. That's like the best part.
You know,
that is literally what I was just about to talk about.
No talking, just music.
Hey.
I can't ever finish a sentence, it's fine.
It's supposed to be Mike interrupting.
I'm trying
But if you let him finish his intro at the end, I could always... If you tell me the trailer, I could cut it in the center of it.
I'm already distracted.
I was trying to give the background of what I did and then lead into my actual topic.
Let the man tell his story.
I was going to keep it to just like a minute or two, but I can't talk without somebody talking over me.
You got it, man.
Anyway, I don't even know where I was at.
This is Vengeance Hunters.
Yeah, it's Vengeance Hunters. It was made for the Neo Geo hardware, the old like hardware that you saw at like theaters, like your 7-Eleven, stuff like that. Has like Metal Slug, has your Fatal Fury, your, you know, basically a bunch of fighting games, Samurai Showdown, stuff like that. My team and I love the hardware and we love the genre, so we made a new game for that old hardware. We put it out on modern platforms and whatnot, and I made the combat specifically in this game to counter older games that I think might be a little bit nostalgic in the genre, and that will actually lead me into... the game that I'm going to talk about is Final Fight.
Wait a second.
Yep.
What was the... So you built for it to run on Neo Geo hardware.
Yes.
What was the coding for that?
C. And some assembly.
Okay.
Yeah. Everything's written...
Hardest part. What was the hardest part doing it?
The hardest part doing it... To be specific, I only did mostly the game design and stuff like that. I did not code. We actually have a guy that's in Budapest. The team's worldwide. We got the main pixel artist who worked on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge. He's in Ireland. The guy who's funding everything is actually in Andorra. One of the other main artists, he's in Spain. I'm in the United States. So we're just all over the place. But yeah. It's but I was very, like, very heavily involved in that side of it. And the hardest part, actually, with any of this was actually with audio. Audio was by far the worst. If we had an audio problem, it had to go... It usually had to solve it, like, with assembly. And we tried to avoid any audio stuff. And there's actually a little bit of audio clipping in this game because of that. But anyway, to kind of keep things moving forward here, I made this game pretty much entirely because I thought the genre got stale, even back in the 90s when I was a kid. I thought it was not great because you just kind of got bored. There's a term that's called beat-em-up fatigue. And I wanted to make sure when I designed this that you did not have beat-em-up fatigue, that you had tons of different options to play, and then each character was different. Like, played different. They have a bunch of core mechanics that are the same, so you can pick up and play any of them, but they play drastically different. And anyway, like, this isn't, even though I was joking about shilling for my own game, that's my reason why I'm bringing up today's subject for myself in Final Fight. Is this is in the beat-em-up genre. It's from the early 90s, and this is absolutely a game that a lot of people love. They love this game. They love the art style. Like, this is pretty iconic early Capcom. Capcom made this game, and it's actually was wonderful. When I first went to get a Super Nintendo, one of the things that made me want to get a Super Nintendo, besides the fact that it was a Super Nintendo and I had a Nintendo, was the fact that I played Final Fight and I read the magazines they were going to bring Final Fight to it. And because I love this game in the arcade. But then after owning Final Fight and having it, I was just like, man, this got boring real fast. And it was just because it was the same thing. Each character just has only a very small variation. The pixels all look different. The characters are kind of iconic. They all still exist in fighting game form today, for the most part. But this game in itself, I feel, is not the best playing anymore. And then the whole genre itself pretty much kind of patterned itself after this. There's Streets of Rage, which is amazing. Tons of people love it. But a lot of people who love it today love it for its repetition because they know it. And they love that. But for me, that isn't like what I like. I like having options when I'm doing stuff like that. And this game is kind of the epitome of the whole genre back in the day where it just did not move very fast. And everybody copied it, and it died out. And it died out rightfully until recently, like Streets of Rage 4 and a bunch of other beat-em-ups have come out. In fact, actually, we've had so much competition. There's a G.I. Joe beat-em-up game that came out recently. A Power Rangers one literally came out a couple days ago. There was a Karate Kid one that came out, and there's tons that there's a Toxic Crusaders one that's coming out.
The like, TMNT.
Then the TMNT Shredder's Revenge. That's actually the one. Like Streets of Rage 4 kind of started off. They found out they could make money. The TMNT guys, they kind of blew everything up, and now everybody's doing it. So and well, a lot of them Revenge fall into the same trappings. So anyway, that's my topic. Yep. I guess so.
I had asked you before.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is this? I don't know the timeline of these things. So I was like, is this a clone of Street Fighter?
Yes. Andy asked earlier if it was a clone of Street Fighter, and fun fact: this was actually supposed to be called Street Fighter 89. This was a sequel to the original Street Fighter that nobody else has played and shouldn't, because the original Street Fighter is terrible. And this was being made, and they were calling it Street Fighter 89. And then they decided to do an actual sequel to Street Fighter, and they just rebranded this as Final Fight.
Which became one of the most iconic Fighter games. Which became one of the most iconic, the one that led everybody into the genre of
like fighting in general, like in one-on-one fighting games in general. Yeah. So yeah, originally this was called Street Fighter 89. So that's why I was like, well, bring that up, because that's actually kind of a fun little tidbit.
Can I just comment on Hagar's, or is that Hagar?
Hagar,
his posture in this game. Yeah. He's just hunched over the whole
turtle.
Time.
Yeah. Well, he's also somebody that very much skipped leg day.
Yeah, he's got the skinny. He's got the skin. Everybody in this game skipped leg day. Cody here, even Guy. His name's Guy. Yeah,
not Gi.
What's hilarious?
I don't know. Maybe it was Gi. It's like I always said Ryu growing up for like Ninja Gaiden and stuff. I said Ninja Gaiden and I said Ryu.
Ninja Gaiden?
Yeah, and it's actually Ninja Gaiden, and it's Hugh, I think, is actually the proper pronunciation.
Yeah. Everyone like overemphasized as the R, but yeah,
I always said Ryu.
He has only one suspender.
I said Ryu when I was a kid, too.
Yeah.
Well, the other one popped off because of his massive chest.
Oh, the other strap.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess I'll let.
Well, he had to hold his pants up because he has, you know, such a massive chest, huge waist,
you pull up a
and then like nothing
of,
below it
of Final Fight here.
Yeah,
yeah, we can do that. Hold on, YouTube.
I think we need to see the gameplay to like really feel.
I guess this is a little harder since it's a video game. We're not doing this. Okay. So if you're a person in the audience who stretches their 4:3 aspect ratio video games out to 16:9, you're a terrorist. There's no in between. You are a terrorist. Why is there not anything?
60 FPS.
Yeah. This is actually not even the original. This is a hack, apparently. Because this was not three player, it was only two player. You could select three characters, but this is still the original gameplay, it looks like.
Did it run that fast, though?
No.
That looks like turbo speed.
I'm pretty sure it did. Here, let's find one that's all... Oh, this is a Super Nintendo one. This is actually one I had the most experience.
This game, because like, I remember getting to go and beat up a car for some reason.
What's that?
I said, because I remember you getting to go, like, beat up a car for some reason.
Yeah, yeah. And they kept that in Street Fighter 2. Like, in between the rounds, there's a bonus round where you got to beat up a car. Yeah. So, this
is... Okay, maybe it's a Street Fighter 2 version I'm remembering.
Yeah, and this also has it. You can beat up cars and whatnot. I think there's even bonus rounds or stuff like that where you can do that.
Do the enemies have more moves, or do they have very standard moves?
They basically have, like, one characteristic. They'll have one or two different moves. Like, there'll be one that'll, like, try to stay away from you and try to sneak in behind you. And,
The guy in the leopard print was just trying to hug you, man. That's how he kept coming.
Yeah, he'll grab you and whatnot. But each one of these characters do, like, different things. And, but you can abuse, like, one of the things you can do. It's called footsies in these games. And it's the same term in fighting games, too, where when you walk around and you manipulate the AI to give you more advantage, because they're always trying to do something, and that's how you'll get hit. It's to add a lot of people that made these games also knew that you're going to be putting quarters in, so they made them very, very cheap. So you go through the first level or so, and you feel like a badass. And then after that,
the difficulty ramps up. Yeah.
And it's not just difficulty, it's the cheapness. Like, there's a difference between difficulty and cheap. And this is, you can't learn cheap very well. You have to abuse the AI. And that's where footsies come into play.
So, is this an American game or a Japanese?
It's Japanese. It's made by Capcom during kind of their original heyday in the 90s when they're just putting out banger after banger. This is one of them. This is very popular.
They're like, where do the bad guys in America are? Oh, Subway.
Yeah.
What's hilarious is there's a guy like just chilling. And he waits until everyone's fighting, and they're like, oh, let's not start fighting.
This guy
here... Well, these guys aren't even doing it. He's just walking up and starting to punch people who are just standing there.
Yeah. Oh, shoot, bro. This guy here, he's actually Hagar the Mayor. He's a mayor of Metro City, which is patterned after New York City. And his daughter, who is the guy in the white shirt, Cody, that's his girlfriend. His daughter got kidnapped by these guys, these thugs. And then Guy is just the friend that comes along because he likes to kick ass.
Like, hey, are you guys beating up a bunch of people in the subway? Like, yeah. I was like, all right.
He's like, all right. He's walking to the screen, and the guy's just standing there, not doing nothing. And the other guy was just like sitting on a bench. And he walks up and just starts punching him. I'm like, well, you're the instigator here. You're the one being rude.
Yeah. He's going to clean the city out.
It's a video game, okay? Just
look at those guys sitting and waiting in that picture.
That's exactly what it was. They were just sitting there chilling. This is actually cool.
Like, from a game design aspect, this is awesome because you don't want your enemies just walking in on the left and right side of the screen. You want them to be dynamic. You want the world to feel lived in.
And they
get up and they're like, oh, we're going to kick your ass because you said you're on the subway and you're in New York. And this is,
sitting and they get up. The problem is, he walks up and just starts punching them while they're still just sitting doing nothing.
He knows. He can read the room.
Dude, nobody can
read the room. These guys, they look like bad guys.
These guys with these claws and chains spiked hair and are probably throwing insults.
They're
not going to sit there and be like, hey, dude, you look like a Calvin Klein model. Nice shirt. They're not going to say that. They're going to just start whipping his ass. So he's whipping their ass first.
If you're on the subway, you deserve to be beaten. That's it. Like, that's it.
Jeez, I'd never get on a subway with Andy.
With Andy, yeah. Andy goes in the subway looking for fights, man.
Yeah. So yeah, that's my topic for the day.
Did you ever play Final Fight in an arcade?
Yes, I had it. There was a what we'll just refer to as a 7-Eleven. It was a convenience store when I was a kid. They had a Final Fight. They actually rotated machines pretty often. The Neo Geo, actually, that I made a game for was in there pretty often. In fact, there's a game that I absolutely hate, but I also love it, called Magician Lord, that was in the same 7-Eleven convenience store, and they'd rotate out cabinets, and they had Final Fight in there for a long time. And I went through, I beat it, I don't know how many times. It was a ton.
So what would you say for the average beat-em-up of the day, was it fair? Or was this on the more annoying side?
I would say it was, once you learn the footsies and stuff like that, it was pretty fair, but I would say it was definitely a little bit annoying. But it's kind of hard to say. This is definitely not one of the worst beat-em-ups for that. Like, it also depends, too. One thing that people don't know is most of these arcade cabinets had these things called dip switches, and you could set the difficulty. So you never know. Like, a game that I might consider fairly easy, like the Super Nintendo version of this, I thought was pretty easy. But there was the arcade version I thought was much harder. And I'm pretty sure whatever version I had in that local convenience store was set to easier, because I never thought of it as that hard. And I've not really played the modern arcade version on, like, hardest difficulty to actually know that. But I would say it's not super cheap in a lot of ways that other games became cheap. So, yeah, it's a little rough. And that's all definitely going to be based on your perspective. Like,
so you have nostalgia towards this? Do you actually like some of it?
I am very nostalgic, and I love it. I love the pixel art. I love the graphics. I like the concept. I like the idea of just walking through and just kicking ass in a subway. Like, a simple story. Like, the mayor of Metro City, shirtless wrestler dude. I love all of that.
With a back problem?
Anyway, yeah, with a back problem. He's got, like...
So you're saying you're very much on the side of cool for this?
I actually am on the opposite side of cool. I actually think this is nostalgic from a gameplay perspective. I think this is a cool looking game. It's very much like looking at a car and thinking it's cool, but knowing it's just trash. I don't think this is trash, don't get me wrong. I just don't think this was very much, a lot of other games patterned themselves after this, and the whole genre died because of it. It never evolved, and so this game just, it played well enough for its time, but it's, you know, not so good.
So more is cool in its day, but
it was cool in its day, but I'll definitely say it's nostalgic.
Gotcha.
Who wants to go next?
I can go.
Okay.
Do you want to pull up Road Rash?
Yes.
Pull up the video. Pull up the video. So you got to see the... I was worried that I would get in trouble. Because the videos were not entirely PG after the race finishes.
Don't just look up Road Rash in general.
Yeah. So...
Which version of Road Rash? Because
just hit game, and I know, just hit game. The first one would probably be the second video right there.
Okay.
That's the one. Yeah. So this, the whole, like, very grunge and street crazy, like, it's all caricatured faces and exaggeration. And they would have AMV, like, live video recorded videos.
Oh.
After a race is over. Like, before a race, after a race, like a woman will come give you a kiss on your helmet that you won. If you lose, people are making fun of you. But, so this is me in, I got this later, so probably later 90s, that I didn't have it in my house. It was initially found in my cousin's house, and it was first started playing one of the early video games I ever played.
This was one of the earlier video games you've ever played?
You played this on PC.
The memorable, yeah.
Oh,
on PC. Probably a Pentium 1, 133 megahertz, could boost to 166 megahertz.
Nerd.
My
I would have loved that as a kid.
My watch is faster than that. My graphics. my smartwatch is faster than that.
See... It's funny that you played the PC version, because I know of zero people that have played the PC version. This
right here.
You have?
Okay,
that's
so why I
played
this.
I guess I now know two people that have played the PC version. Because most people who have played this have played this on the Genesis.
Yeah.
Road Rash 1, 2, and 3 on the Sega Genesis.
Yeah.
And then it was also on the 3DO and PlayStation. So people have played those, but typically not the PC version. So that's actually pretty interesting.
I didn't even know there were console versions of this. I never played the originals. It was sometime in the mid-90s. I think it was like It was like 94 or something like that, whichever version of Road Rash came out then. Like, my dad mm-hmm. had it on his computer, and so that's where I played this.
I have never played this. What is this game about? I mean, I'm seeing
that the, right there.
That's right there.
What would you say about the, do you like the racing, or do you like the combat, or do you like both?
I think there is a good amount of skill involved in the game, and you can win without fighting people. Mm-hmm. The police will come fight you, though. They will hit you with the baton. With a stick. And you can, in the future, have like a nunchuck or something else. Or you can just kick, right? That's the default, is you can just kick. So there's definitely skill in this game, and it gets harder. You make money. There it is. The cops saw you. Yeah.
What's real fun is when you
I love all parts of it.
But you don't wreck into, like, you wreck into the back of a car, and you go flying for like 20 miles. You're going so fast.
Oh, he's dead.
Yeah. I loved all parts of it, really.
Here's one thing I'll say.
This is even older. Look at this.
Yeah, this is older than the version.
This is Road Rash 3 on the Sega Genesis. Yeah. This is what I know. I grew up actually with Road Rash 1 and 2. My buddy had a Genesis, and he had those games. So I'm very familiar with this series.
Is it Road Rash 4 that was the mid-90s that we were just looking at?
The one we were just looking at was just like, I think it was just kind of a reboot that was on the PC.
Okay. Well, maybe that's what it wasn't, but that's,
I think it was like 94 or 95 when it came out on PC.
Well, what stood out to me, especially about the previous one, mm-hmm. was that they
used... Oh, this one has mirrors, so you can see who's coming up behind you.
Yep.
They used real people
and
turned them into sprites. Kind of like Mortal Kombat style.
Yeah.
I wish there was more of that in nowadays as well, because it was such a unique, like, visual style.
They still do that to a point, but it's just like more like motion capture.
It's not the same, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, put a real person there and make him do crazy, stupid stuff in a video game. You know what I mean?
No, I get you on that.
Well, now you know what you need to do for your next one.
Yeah. No, actually,
Mike is volunteering.
I would actually like to go completely gaudy with something, like put stuff like that in there. Go like back to the 3D rendered Donkey Kong Country graphics.
Oh my god, I love that game.
There are people that hate that style of graphics, like hate it.
What about like Clay Fighter?
Lean into it. Yeah,
is it like pixel shading?
I actually like Clay Fighter. Almost.
I played.
Is it pixel shading?
So much of Donkey Kong Country.
No, the previous Road Rash. What we saw.
Oh, I've actually thought about like going and getting it and playing it again.
Even the cars, everything, all the artifacts are pictures.
Right. Yeah.
It looks like things. Yeah.
Like all the textures. Yeah, they're just
sprites. Everything's sprites.
Yeah.
So sprites. I think the PS1 version of this actually has a lot of this rendered, like it's 3D rendered with sprites.
This was also the first game I knew the cheat code for. The first cheat code I've ever entered for any video game was
for the PC version. Yeah,
for the PC version was XYZZY spoon shift 1.
Spoon?
And you would get like a whole bar of Nitro Boost that is only available usually later on with bikes that are higher CC, higher capacity. So I can't even remember. I think it was through school. Here's a weird thing. My school's computer lab, it's so weird to think about it. They will let you play this video game if you paid, it was 5 rupees for half an hour or something. It was like a quarter for half an hour. So it was very weird. I don't even know why the school is doing
this. Yeah, yeah.
I was like, is this a scheme where the computer lab kind of teachers were running underneath? Or does everyone know? What are they doing with this money?
Yeah, are they pocketing the money?
That was their booze money.
But that's like where we learned
done handling all the kids.
Exchange cheat codes. We're like, so you have to type this. And now in my head, I know shift 1 is like holding shift and then hitting 1 because it was exclamation point, actually.
Mm.
As a kid, I would go shift and then 1, and that wouldn't work. It took me a while to figure out, you need to hit shift and 1 at the same time for it to work.
Right.
So for me, this is, I will say, it is still cool for me. I'll say that. I think there's a difficulty curve that's pretty good. It feels like the weird live video parts inside of it feel fun.
Oh, the cheesy videos. The cheesy videos, the later ones, like when they actually had like, mm-hmm. CD storage media and they could add that. Really good. Music was really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My vote is it's actually both nostalgia and cool.
It can't be both.
We'll go with cool.
It's cool.
Okay.
It's cool, guys.
Just trust me.
All right. Well, let's move on to the next pick. I'll go next. We're going back to beat 'em ups. In fact, I think
let's go.
They're pretty much all beat 'em ups except for Andy's.
Yeah.
We're gonna go take a look at Golden Axe.
Okay.
Golden Axe, another classic. This one developed by Sega, released in 1989. And this is probably the beat 'em up that I played the most when I was a kid. And
did you play it in the arcade or did you play it on Genesis?
Never in the arcade. In fact, my very first experience with Golden Axe was the Commodore 64 version, which doesn't actually look that much like that.
You had a Commodore 64?
My brothers had a Commodore 64.
Oh, did your parents hate your brother?
You know what? I won't comment on that.
Just kidding. I own a Commodore 64. I just would not have used it as a gaming platform as a kid.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. My brothers had all sorts of games on their Commodore 64, and Golden Axe was definitely one of them. And it definitely cannot do the kind of graphics that you're looking at the top right there.
This was the iconic case for the Sega Genesis, like right here.
They just threw Xena Warrior Princess in the background.
What was his name? Like Axe Battler or something like that? Oh. Like the most just badass name of all time. I think his name is Axe Battler.
Axe Battler is his name.
Yeah.
Yes. And the dwarf over on the right there riding the dragon dinosaur thing, his name is Gilius Thunderhead.
Yeah.
He had the power of lightning. And then the female warrior over there, her name was Tyrus Flare. What kind of power do you think she had?
Flames.
One thing that was really unique about this game is that, not only was it like your typical beat 'em up where you go around and you hit people, right? And in pretty much all cases, you have a weapon. You know, we have the axe with the dwarf. I think the guy, he had a sword, which is funny. He has an axe in the case there. And then the female warrior, she also had a sword, I think.
Yep.
Oh, all three are playable.
Yeah, all three are playable. But then also they had this magic system. And there was a bit of strategy to it because you had to basically build up your magic by picking up little magic potions throughout the level. And the more magic you collected, the stronger your spell was going to be once you actually used it. So you had to think about when you were going to use your magic and how much help you needed from it.
Did you like beating up those little guys to get more magic?
Yeah, the little, I don't even know what
they're
called.
I don't know what they are.
They're like little squirrel goblin
things. Yeah, they're just running around like they I always
laugh
at
you.
Yeah, they just seem like they're little jerks, and you just had to beat them up just take their magic.
Yeah, they're mischievous little elven squirrel things.
You'd think if they had that just stuff
sitting
around.
Look at the player select screen. Look at that. Look how freaking amazing that is. But the game, you know, to be honest, though, it's very typical beat 'em up. There are ways to cheese the combat, especially with, like, I think you brought this up when we were talking earlier, with the dwarf. If you jump and attack while jumping, you almost hit every time and can't get hit.
This is the classic
time.
Jump attack.
Yeah.
Can be OP in these games.
Yeah.
If you don't know what you're doing.
Where in the timeline is this?
In the timeline?
Wait, like what year?
This is a fantasy setting.
Well, obviously this is when we had dragons.
When the game came out. When did the game come out?
Rideable lizards.
Wait a second.
Like that was like what? The 1200s maybe? 1800s?
Okay. I meant more, when did the game come out?
What's the timeline?
Oh, she's picking up that point now. That's pretty cool.
1989. This game came out in 1989.
Okay. Yeah. Pretty good.
And it was apparently pretty advanced.
Oh, there's the guys.
Yeah, there's the little squirrel things. It was pretty advanced for the time because it had 16-bit graphics, which was like a new thing. And it played pretty smoothly as well. And a lot of people basically praised the environments. There was a lot of varied environments when it came to the levels.
It's pretty good.
And you got a little bit of verticality, as you can tell from there. Since there's multiple paths and whatnot that you can take. It's a fun game. There's aspects of it that are very...
Oh, he's the bad guy.
Yeah, that's Death Adder.
Death Adder.
Because he adds you to the death.
Yeah.
you know, there's aspects of it that are kind of cheesy, repetitive. You know, that's basically any beat 'em up except for, you know, Michael's over here. But overall, I think it was really fun.
Women aren't allowed to have clothing.
Yeah. Women weren't allowed to have
clothing. Armor, dude. Yeah.
Even the bad guys. Oh, yeah. They also had rideable animals.
Whoa, the bad guy rode.
Not only can the bad guys use, but you could as well. And they were insanely... That was one of the coolest
parts of this game.
Yeah, they were insanely powerful. You, like, if you found one, especially the ones, the dragons that breathe fire, like, you wanted it, and you wanted to keep it, and it sucked whenever you got hit, and then the animal's like, nope, I'm leaving you. I don't want you anymore. Like, Yoshi'd away.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they just completely destroy. But I think, you know, the whole magic aspect that they add in really was the thing that puts this, for me, in the aspect of still being cool. Because it added at least a minimal amount of strategy to your play. And it wasn't purely focused on just going up to someone and hitting them. So I for that aspect, I think I would judge this as cool.
Oh, was that her magic cast?
Yeah, she had the best magic. Okay. She went up to level 6. You, of course, had to collect a lot of it to get there.
I switched it up. This is the arcade version. You played the Genesis version, but they're pretty close.
I played the Commodore 64 version. Pull up that one. Boy. It looks completely different.
Okay, so let's
see.
But
I have also played the arcade version via completely legal emulator. So it looks completely different on the Commodore 64. That looks
terrible.
We will see. We will see. They still went for the character select screen, sort of.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Is that 8-bit colors?
I guess. Yeah, this is an 8-bit, like, computer.
Yeah.
So it's, like, there's...
Oh, he's doing the jump attack, see? That's the classic cheese.
Did the Commodore version have more than one attack button?
Oh, I don't know. I can't remember. I was very young.
Because a lot of games on the Commodore or for those PCs only had one attack button, and usually up was attack button. To beat them up, you have to go... up when you go up. So I'm curious if it had more than one. I think the Commodore 64 would have had two buttons because there's a ton of buttons on it, but a lot of the other
PC games have the whole keyboard too.
Yeah, but it was just funny, like they consistently didn't have that.
Yeah,
but yeah, this is an interesting version.
Yeah, very very different, but there's still,
so did they like dumb it down to be able to make it work on this, or did it come out on this and then it was made better to be on the other one?
No, I believe that this was a port.
Yeah, this is
definitely a port. So this was, you know, trying to make it run on a very popular computer system to get more money. Yeah,
they probably had to rewrite everything. Dumbed it down.
Yeah.
It was really common back in the day to get a popular game from the arcade and then port it to all the different platforms, and we didn't see over here the Commodore 64 version, the ZX Spectrum, or Speccy as the Brits call it, and a few other of the like real like kind of, we consider them pretty low end computers, but a lot of kids use them to play games on, and so there are ports of these for everything. Yeah, the hit registration, a lot of these Turtle games Village. Is a little not great.
Where's your cat?
Yeah, I'm not even going to attempt to explain the story on this one, because it's all sorts of weird. It all revolves around Death Adder just being a bad guy. But there's all sorts of weird environments that you go to. Like, there's, I think there's a giant turtle that you fight on the back of. And that was even in multiple different versions of the game, or sequels in the game, too.
I mean, the Commodore one just looked sad.
It was, but like it was also pretty cool that like it even ran at all on the Commodore 64. Like,
what is the medium on 64? How do you get game in?
Big old floppies.
Floppies?
Yeah.
The 5-inch?
Yeah. I can't remember if it was.
You could do cassette tapes too.
Yeah.
It was very slow. And sounded horrible. It took like 5-10 minutes to load.
But yeah, this is Golden Axe 3. So it's had sequels. In fact, I think they were supposed to be making a new one.
Sega recently announced like a whole slew of their old IP that they've had dormant forever, is now being, they're making new versions. Like, they're making a new Golden Axe. They're making a new Shinobi. They're making a new Crazy Taxi, I think. They're making a new Jet Set Radio, like a few of those. So, yeah, Golden Axe is definitely one of them. No clue what it's going to look like. Don't know if it's going to be a 2D pixel art, if it's going to be a 3D game. They had a failed 3D one, and I think it was called, like, Beast something or other. That was on, like, the PS3 360, mm-hmm. and it was terrible.
Yeah, I hope they keep with the, you know, the pixel art 2D beat 'em up style. You know, we know that there's a market for that when it comes to, like, you were talking about all the games that are coming out now.
Yeah.
That are incredibly popular. So
mm-hmm. this part of it looks better than the final fight.
Third one.
I know, they've gotten much better.
Yeah,
her moves are much more fluid, and she's collecting red. Oh no, still blue.
But are you talking about all of Golden Axe or specifically the game?
No, I'm just this time I'm just talking about the first one. Now I'm not saying this Commodore 64 version.
Okay, that was just okay.
That was just my first exposure to
Sega version we were looking at.
We can go with the arcade version.
Or arcade version.
Yeah.
The non sad version.
The non sad version. Honestly, it's pretty good.
I love the FBI thing right there.
Spinners don't use drugs.
Yeah, that was at the start of almost every game back in the day. Yeah. All arcade games had that winners don't use drugs, FBI, whatever, and it was just common. I've never actually even looked up as to why or if it was a requirement, but they pretty much all did it.
Because their youths were being corrupted.
I think it was something like that, where it was like going, well, they want us to put it there. We want to keep making money from kids, so here we go. We're going to tell them not to do drugs.
Yeah.
When her big spell worked out and the dragon came out, I thought that was a boss, not her spell.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
I think she's about to use it right now. Yeah.
There
it
is.
See, this is the levels of magic. It gets more powerful the more of those bottles you get.
I thought that was just her, like, you know, a boss showed up.
Oh. That she had to fight it?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. The big dragon versus her little one.
Yeah, see, it changes based on the level of spell.
I would say this is pretty cool.
Hey, wait.
You're voting too early. Stop breaking the rules.
Pretty cool at this part. Yeah.
We still got one more to go here.
I'm sorry.
I had
a very emotional reaction to this.
Andy's digging it.
All right,
mine
Jeffrey.
Is an early 90s. It's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time. Another beat 'em up.
Another classic.
Which, as I was like pulling this up and like remembering how it went, I realized I came across it. Apparently, they had a Turtles in Time reshelled where they redid all the graphics. Came out in 2009. Mm-hmm. Same game, but it looks better. I was like, where was I? So I'm going to be checking that out.
Looks better.
Soon.
We might have to have fights.
About whether it actually looks better.
Yeah.
Well, sorry. Uh-huh. Looks better as in, like, the visuals look like they weren't as... You could tell who the turtles were a little easier.
They're
higher resolution.
Yes.
Yeah. Here, hold on. I'll bring it up. Keep going, though.
So, another very simple story. Shredder and Krang, they steal the Statue of Liberty. And then Shredder taunts...
as you do.
The Ninja Turtles. For
they stole the Statue of Liberty.
Okay,
why not?
And then,
haven't you ever thought about that?
Essentially, like, somehow interrupts the news broadcast just on the Ninja Turtles TV to taunt them that, haha, we stole this, and the Ninja Turtles have to go get it back. And as they're trying to get it back, Shredder somehow gets them caught in a time warp, so they're fighting through different time periods, like. Dinosaurs are out there, and then they're fighting like an old Western train and all this stuff to try to get back to Shredder and beat him and return the Statue of Liberty to where it goes. Obviously, it's another beat 'em up. I'll admit, like, as you play it, there are some repetitive moves and everything like that, but something that I thought was not only is it cool just because I like Ninja Turtles as it is, but not every Ninja Turtles game is created the same. On this game... Where, like, earlier where you're seeing where you're grabbing people and throwing them over your shoulder, you could grab them and throw them at the camera so they fly at the screen and disappear.
Yeah.
And so you ended up, like, the whole game, as you're beating people up, trying to grab them and throw them at the screen. And you have, obviously, all four turtles to pick from. And not only is that fun when you're throwing them at the screen, I mean, that the sound effects on this and the music, I thought were great.
Konami, when they were at their best.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal soundtrack.
Yeah, it's a very fluid, though.
Looks right, fluid. That's what I was about to comment on. The gameplay is very fluid in this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I played this on Super Nintendo, I think. Pretty sure. Might have been Nintendo, but I thought it was Super Nintendo. See, there you go. Throwing the camera.
Yep. Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and this is specifically the arcade version. Did you play the arcade version?
I've played the arcade version and the Super Nintendo version. Okay. I played both.
There's also kind of a Sega Genesis version that's named Hyperstone Heist, but they couldn't use the Turtles in Time name because they had an exclusivity clause, but it's pretty much the same game.
Mm.
They remix some stuff, but...
Yeah. But then, like, you go through every level fighting, you know, foot soldiers and stuff like that, and then at the end, there's always obviously a boss... and I went through and like somebody did like a power run throughout the entire thing in like 45 minutes, and I was skimming through it to remember. It was like, how far did I get through this? And something I find funny about Baxter Stockman there is his little gun. If he shoots, it has like a little hand that comes out just to like grab at you.
Yeah, this guy's playing too good, but yeah, you get grabbed by it.
But no, the further I went through it, I was like, I think I got pretty far in the game. I don't think I ever actually beat it because I don't remember the very end. Shredder turns into Super Shredder, and you have to fight him. I was like, I don't remember doing that. I don't remember that part. So I'm not sure I ever actually beat it. And but pretty far into it.
Who doesn't love picking up a big old pizza to refill your health,
too? Yeah. Right? That's the way to do it.
Pizza box.
Now, you got to pull up the reshelver, because I've not...
I did. Absolutely cursed.
Okay. No, that's not good.
Look at this.
That can't be it.
This is reshelled.
That's it?
That's the 2009 one?
See, I just saw that. I was like, that didn't look that bad.
No,
that's the same game. That's the same.
That looks freaky.
Yeah, I mean, look at that. That's the way they are.
Here, hold on. Like, seeing right there, like the actual gameplay footage looks fine, but when I showed the four looking at us, that looked weird.
Let's see, because you said it was like, oh, it looks better. And I was like, what?
I didn't look at that.
You probably play your 4:3 games in 16:9. You're a terrorist.
I didn't actually look at the gameplay. I just, like, as I was looking through this, I saw a random image of the gameplay, and I was like, oh, that looks kind of cool.
Nah.
Just the loading screen, nah.
See, I'd play that.
I don't know, man. This is not my jam.
It's not the worst.
No,
that's
not the
worst. Like,
it's not, but I'm just like, oh, geez. Like, all the detail, all the cool little stuff, it's very gray. Like, all the color is lost. Like, now we go back
to... We'll get to another...
Pointless realism.
Here's the same fight, but the arcade version. And I'm just a big fan of pixel art, so I'm probably a little biased there, too. So I go between this... I can't do that. This guy and this. And I'm just like going, I'll take the pixel art.
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, I definitely like this one because I grew up on this one. I still love this. And I've actually been meaning to go back and replay it. I just hadn't got a chance to. But seeing a reshelled version and saw, like, the graphics were just, like, slightly bumped up a bit. I'll agree that the scene you picked, there was a lot of grays, but you go in like other, there's other ones with color and everything.
It's a lot
but
of green.
Subway Surf.
I'm still saying like I would play that.
It just looks like it's like there's not it's not as much
Nickelodeonized
going on.
Version.
It looks like there's almost nothing there. Like your eye is not drawn. It's so barren.
It's like cheap 3D.
Yeah, it probably was. This was probably now to be
Did
fair.
Did you ride
this
the dinosaur?
This was probably
runs away.
I think to be fair, I'm pretty sure this was like the equivalent of like an arcade game, like a 360 arcade, PS3 arcade, like a small downloadable title. Mm-hmm. So I'm being a little mean to this. And of course, then you go back and like you bring up the recent Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, like Shredder's Revenge. They go back to pixel art.
Yeah, that one I've not played yet.
Game looks like it is phenomenal looking.
It's been on
it
my
is
list.
Insane. Yeah.
Is Shredder's Revenge the one that just came out most recently?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Most recent.
And if you haven't played it, you should play it.
I think there's a newer one.
Well, the thing is, I'm really looking forward to I love like the Batman Arkham games. I like the idea of actually more of an open world. Like I like these games too. Don't get me wrong. But I love the solo open world stuff where you're just kind of going around and trying to figure things out when you're dealing with characters that I love. Because I've played a number of Batman games, and they all sucked.
We have to bring up Batman in every episode.
Why did you call it out? I was already in my head doing Batman, but then you got to physically call it out. But no, like I never liked the Batman game until the first Arkham game came out. And I was like, oh my god, I love this game. And then I played the shit out of all of those. And I don't know much about it, but I've heard apparently there's a Ninja Turtles Ronin game mm-hmm. coming out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be...
The Last Ronin?
Yeah, The Last Ronin as a game.
Yeah.
And that similar kind of a style. And I'm just like, oh my God, please do this really well, because I'll play the shit out of that game.
It's too. A very dark one. I think it's only one... Turtle left. Everyone's
Yeah, well, that's
dead.
What the Lost Ronin is. All three of the other turtles have died, and the one turtle's like out doing stuff and has all their weapons and everything.
So. Right. Yeah, you don't know which turtle it is.
Yeah, because I've seen it with different ones.
Halfway through or like three quarters of the way through is when you find out.
Yeah, I actually went saw that they had all the comics of the Last Ronin. They had actually put it together. Like, there's like a prequel one, and then the actual Last Ronin. They put it into like the full omnibus edition with all of them in there. And I saw those in the store, and I was like, sweet! And I just grabbed those so I can go, because I've never actually read the comic.
Mm.
But, no, I'm very much looking forward to that, because I love the Ninja Turtles. That's something that I, like, I had Ninja Turtles sheets and curtains
you're all that stuff. Ninja Turtles.
I was in theaters to see the original Ninja Turtles.
Like the live-action movie, when you're...
Well, the 1990s one, like, it didn't click with me right, because I grew up on the cartoon, and mm-hmm. I still liked it, but I didn't appreciate it as much as I do now in my older age. I actually liked Ninja Turtles 2 more when I was younger because they flipped over to being a more kid-centric. But as I grew up, I'm like, man, I like number 1 better now because I like a more darker Ninja Turtle series.
So you specifically played Turtles in Time because this is actually the second game.
Yes.
There's the first one that was also in
arcades. Actually, no, this is the fourth.
This is the, is this? No, I think that's only for the Super Nintendo, the 4. Turtles in Time in the arcade is different than,
That probably
because
makes sense.
They had a Nintendo,
they had Ninja Turtles three, like, mutant something or other.
Yeah, it's on the NES or whatnot.
But no, this is the only one I ever I played of those, and I loved this game.
One thing I want to say about this one in part, I don't know if all of the Ninja Turtle ones are like this, but there's so much style.
Yeah,
there's so like custom animations going on, and just so much care that I can tell went into every single level.
The number of sprites for each movement.
Right.
Right. Like it's so fluid. That guy getting flew into the screen.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So if it's not clear, I think this is cool. I think this is still cool today. And more than likely, once we're done recording here at some time over this coming weekend, I'm going to be buying this game because I've been meaning to get it back in my possession.
Mm. Real fun fact, the Super Nintendo version, they actually added stages and bosses over the arcade version. It's one of the few games that actually added to the arcade experience.
Huh.
So the Super Nintendo one, even though the arcade one is actually more fluid, like if you go, this is Super Nintendo one, we go back to this one. This has more fluid and there's more frames of animation. Mm-hmm. It actually is missing content compared to the Super Nintendo version.
Oh, what do you know?
I think the reshelled version actually puts it all into one package pretty much. And you but then you have the nightmare fuel. And so yeah. So there's no perfect version of this game, but yeah, they're all good.
Yeah.
No perfect version.
It was this and X-Men. Those are the two games that I played the heck out of in arcade and on like Super Nintendo stuff. This and X-Men, those are my two go-tos.
Yeah, the four-player X-Men was pretty sweet.
Him getting hit by the fire is also hilarious. He's got like this charred face and its hair is all burnt up.
There's so much character that they put in the animations. Like the little things like that matter in games like this.
Yeah. I can see him smiling in the middle of hits like as he's doing them. It's really good. Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's yours.
Definitely cool.
All right, I guess it's time to vote. Who was first?
I was first.
Oh, yeah, of course. Final Fight. All right.
Final Fight.
All right, so if you guys, as I explained earlier, Final Fight or Street Fighter 89, whatever you prefer, it was a game that was great in its time. It still looks amazing, in my opinion. The pixel art is amazing. It's very iconic. Some of these characters are still around, still very well loved. It was great in its day. However, I do not believe that it holds up as a game as well as others in the genre, like the later stuff, especially Capcom stuff they did later on, like Alien vs. Predator and stuff like that, just because there's a lot of repetitious gameplay. But it was kind of the leader in, like, you know, we see those guys on the right that are all sitting down on a bench and they get up and they just start fighting. There's all kinds of stuff like that that just made it cool. However, with just the way it played and stuff like that, I am leaning towards this is actually just more nostalgia for me. It's a good game for its time, but in modern day, it's good for 10, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and then you get that beat 'em up fatigue and you're done.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to agree with you. It's nostalgia. I think it's just, if it were to release today, people would just complain about how clunky it is, how repetitive it is. I don't think it could, it really stood the test of time. Like, I'm sure this was amazing back in its day.
It was. I was there. But it was great.
But it just, it there's no way this would hold up today. Nostalgia for me.
100% same for me. I love that there were people sitting in the background and who just casually walked into the fight. Kind of, they were just like hanging out, you know, just in the subway. They're just like, oh, it's fight time. Let's get on it. Kind of like, you know, there's a guy beating people up.
You mean his this final guy's got fight a look time? In his
eye. We need to just go whip his ass.
If we don't fight him, he will still come kick us. So we have to fight him. But that I think, yeah, like but the moves are kind of so samey. Like they're just not
a lot of variety.
No. Actually, having seen the other things we've seen just now, for me, it's just like I wouldn't put myself through the playthrough of this. So it's pure nostalgia for me.
All right, Jeffrey.
While my vote doesn't matter, I'm going to agree anyway. I don't recall if I played that or not. There's some things about it that seem familiar, but then some that don't. So if I played it, it wasn't much. And then just watching through that gameplay, doing the same like three moves over and over and over, I would get bored really, really quickly. I also don't necessarily like the aspect of, I mean, like, it's cool that they're sitting in the background, but to me, I'm like, the guy should be getting up and coming to get me, and I'm supposed to be trying to defend myself, fight him off, not just walk up and punch them because they're sitting there and I know I'm supposed to punch them. That's me. I'm like, that's assault.
Beat 'em up game.
That's not assault. The real they weren't always going to jail. Over
that's
this.
Not self defense. That's manslaughter.
What if they had a really bad day? Like, wouldn't you just give him a pass on that? Just a little pop in the nose. You know, you don't even have to go to the hospital.
But to me, the whole point is like, I'm trying to get to what, like, save my girlfriend or whatever is in that game. And to me, I'm like, if they're attacking me and I should be fighting them off to get to the girl, not hey, I don't like the way you look today, you know, like that's just, I don't know. So that's definitely nostalgia for me.
Okay. All right, three and four votes for nostalgia.
It seems like we've got a verdict here. We got it's nostalgic pretty much. So all right, well, Final Fight is in the can. Who wants to go next?
Road Rash.
Andy was next.
Want some Road Rash? All right,
I think it is still cool. I think you can probably finish the game really fast in like 3 hours or something. The games were not that long back then. There's progression. There's like several roads you can pick. Pacific Highway. This is the city way. So you have like different views out there. I think it's still cool. I think it's a good piece of that time and it's still kind of playable.
All right.
Kim?
Jeffrey?
Well, I'm kind of angry about this video we're watching because I want to see him smash.
There we go, finally!
No, look at him run so slow.
This is they didn't run all the way back to the motorcycle. No, what's really funny.
And you can get hit while you're doing that, and you can be running all day long.
No, what's really funny is, like, I was saying earlier, like, if you're going fast enough, like, when you get to something, because I think he's on a lower powered bike right now. You get to one of the ones where you're like, the cars are whizzing by you so fast, it's hard to even, like, notice them before you pass them. And you hit it, and you feel like you flew 20 miles down the road, and you have to wait for him to run all the way back to the bike.
Yep. Oh, he's fighting the cop.
Oh, fighting the cop. Oh, that was always good. You can, like, hit him into a wall.
Yeah, and that'll get more cops after you, and you can get cop car, or at least some versions of the game you can.
Oh, goodness. But, no, I'm going to say, I completely forgot about this damn game until you brought it up, and I researched it beforehand. I'm like, oh, yeah! And as we're sitting here, like when I was researching before I came here, and as we're sitting there watching this, it's making me want to go play it. So that alone, I think, automatically throws me in the cool camp. Because if I'm wanting to play it right now, and it's obviously really old, it's cool.
Yep.
Look at that.
Even the cutscenes. Yep. Super cheesy cutscenes. Yeah.
All right, I'll go next. This one actually is tough for me. Because I think if you release this game today, it probably wouldn't do well unless it was a mobile game. I think this would do so well as a mobile game because the simple controls the easily discernible right elements on the screen.
App Store.
I think, and I think this would go so well as a mobile game, and I think it would be fun. I think it would be really fun to play.
There's probably like 5 million of these on the App Store. We just don't know about them.
And so I think...
With ads.
I think it, because of that, I am going to vote cool. Like, there's things about it that seem to me that aren't quite modern enough or, like, agreeable enough to modern sensibilities. That
FPS is bad. Yeah. The frame rate is not good.
But like I
every
think
every version the frame rate is bad pretty much.
I think there are some ways like a mobile game where this could hold up really well, and so that's why I'll go with cool on this one. And plus, I mean, I can't get around how awesome the freaking sprites are. All right,
so I am actually going to go with the crowd here. I think this game is super cool. I mean, you are on a freaking super bike or whatever you call it, crotch rockets, just really fast bike. And most of the time, you'd be like, okay, we're just going to just go racing here. No, you not only have to race and avoid stuff, which was pretty common at the time already, like games like OutRun already had you do that, going around corners and avoiding stuff. Well, this one says like, hey, well, what if you're on a motorcycle and you can punch people? Yeah. F yeah, let's go. I want to do that. I still want to do that. Not in real life, but I would like to go play this game or any version of this game. Actually, I think every single one of them were good. I played the Sega Genesis one specifically, but I've also played the 3DO version, which is actually kind of similar to this one that we got up right now. This is the PlayStation 1 version. And yeah, every version of this game is pretty much badass. The soundtrack's awesome. It leaned in. Actually, I guess I want to say 3's soundtrack was not great. It was really weird. All of them are acquired taste soundtracks on the Genesis. But anyway, yeah, I think this is super cool. The combat, just adding in combat, nobody else has really replicated the feel of this. There is a game on PC and I think consoles. I can't think of the name that's actually kind of a spiritual successor to this. And even it hasn't kind of emulated exactly what made Road Rage cool.
That was
a good one.
There are shortcuts, actually, you can take.
Yeah, you could...
alternate routes.
Yeah. In different ones, yeah, you can take different shortcuts. You can go different routes, where you want to go, like, just ride your bike. Like, you know, you can go, like, this grassy area or whatnot, or a city area and whatnot. You can actually pick your level in some of them. So, yeah, I think it's absolutely cool. I don't think this is... I think this is fun today. All right, well, I guess that kind of...
We're all in agreement
wraps
so
up
far.
Our episode, right?
Wait.
No. Wait a minute.
Mike's doesn't matter.
And neither does Jeffrey's.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
For a second, I was like, did he forget?
No.
Is he hungry for the pizza?
No, I was actually
hungry. He was just saying, two unanimous in a row, we're done.
I am hungry for
Michael's
the pizza.
Michael's just over here trying to bully me. No. I was being mean to him earlier.
I just asked, like, hey, what time is it? I've told you 3 times. I'm like, I went and I looked it up. You mentioned it once.
Yeah. No, it was 3 times.
All right.
Anyway.
Battle Axer.
All right. I'll go next. Well, I think I was next.
You are next.
Golden Axe. So.
You paused it right on her butt facing us, just saying.
One of the reasons why it's cool.
That's the reason it's cool.
Okay. Yeah. Butts. And even dragon butts. No, I mean, it's another beat 'em up. There's a lot of aspects about this that are very much in the style of other beat 'em ups. But I think the magic system was very unique. The kind of strategy that was involved in using your magic at the right time. I think the settings were really cool. And the rideable animal kind of system going on there, I think, was also really cool. There are things about this that I think would still hold up quite well today. There are things that people would complain about, obviously. But I think overall, I think it's still cool.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and jump in because I've been holding some step back for this. All right.
Oh, boy.
All right. I never played this game, so I'm going and stating that. I've never played it before. I think I had heard Golden Axe before, but I didn't know anything about the game until I researched for this podcast. So I can't speak to the gameplay as to whether, you know, all the magic stuff and strategy and how cool it is. But what I can speak to is when I was watching a gameplay of it, how cool. Quickly, these sound effects and soundtrack got on my nerves.
Ooh.
The sound effects were so repetitive. I was hearing the same thing like every second or two. And not just from punching, like all the background noise, everything. It was getting on my nerves. and the music I found grating. Like, it was just so bad. So feel free to turn it up if you want to. But because of that, it got on my nerves so quick that I'm like, I would not want to play this game because of that aspect of it, the auditory.
Oh, part. Man. I thought I remember the music being really cool in this game. I do agree with you on the sound effect. I can see how that could be annoying. I don't know, man.
All Sega ones were that. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, maybe you have to play it on mute the whole game. Maybe if you played it on mute the whole game, maybe it ended up being a little better. But because of that alone, I was like, no, it's not 100% nostalgia.
This is the track that most people... of course, in this defense, whoever recorded this is definitely using a later Model 2 Genesis with a different sound chip. And that actually sounds terrible right there. So I would not actually judge it too much based on that. So we should switch that. There is
I didn't play this. I watched like a gameplay all the way through. So it might not have been the same.
Might not have been the same. But yeah, I would actually agree. That sound, it can be very acquired. I have heard like the symphony version of a lot of these tracks. And they are epic as fuck. Like they are really, really good. But you have a point.
Okay, yeah. So you're going...
It's nostalgia because...
You're going with nostalgia.
All I can go on is what I know of it.
All right.
I'll go here, real quick. And I'm going to actually go with... I also believe... this one's a hard one for me because unlike Final Fight, this actually has a few things going for it. It has the dragons that you can come in. They're not dragons. They're like wyverns or something like that. They're rideable characters. They're rideable characters.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can knock an enemy off and then get on it, and then the enemy can knock you off and get on it, that is awesome. The magic system's pretty awesome. The setting is great. I actually like the music in probably the later games or the symphonic version. I know what you're talking about there, so I kind of agree. I'm a little wishy-washy on this, and I'm gonna lean towards nostalgic.
Oh, it doesn't break my heart, have man.
Quite, and it's almost there. And in later versions, because you specifically picked one,
I did.
And because of the gameplay, you can cheese it so easily. I'm gonna go with nostalgic. I do think the game is pretty good, but it's also one of those that gets, you know, just like Final Fight, will get a little old pretty fast. But it's actually not as quick as, say, like Final Fight to get the beat-em-up fatigue. So
I'm not saying I disagree with you, because I actually do agree with a lot of your nitpicks, quote-unquote. But
it's a good game, so they are kind of nitpicks.
You're just disappointed in it.
It's funny you say that, because like the aspect of the magic and the being able to, like, the whole, like, jumping on the ride thing, I was like, oh, that seems interesting for as old as that game is. And then when we watched the Golden Axe 3 footage, I was like, that one actually looks a little more fun. So that's why I specifically asked, like, we're not doing all of Golden Axe, right? Make it easy and pick one. Because, like, I didn't hear the music from 3 and the sound effects from 3, so I don't know if it is better. But since we're doing just one, I was like, it had some aspects that seem interesting. But, yeah, I'd have to play it on, sadly.
Yeah. Then there's actually this arcade version. Don't pay attention to the sound on that. This is an arcade one of a later version of Revenge of Death Adder, and it has just crazy art and yeah, like you can do all kinds of stuff.
Four player,
yeah, wow. It was pretty nuts. But we're not scoring based on this one, but I really like this one. I thought this was fun.
Andy, go with Andy. Yeah,
I'm very on the fence with this. First of all, the Commodore 64 one is just depressing. It's so depressing to look at it. And to just
I feel sad for your childhood when I look at it.
Everyone's childhood.
Look at almost any Commodore 64 game, though, and you'll probably...
Yeah.
There's some Commodore 64 games that are great, but that one was a little rough.
That was rough. Because I was tainted by looking at the arcade version first. And then I saw the Commodore version and I was just like, this is so sad. But I think it's cool. I think it's cool because of the writing mechanic is really what sells me on it. I've seen a very small amount of that game, but she was able to actually throw her sword
Well, that was part three, though. Could she do it in all of them?
Yeah, yeah, I think
so. That was part three that we were watching her throw it.
I don't think she can't throw it in the first one.
No.
So, yep. You could jump on one of those dragons and shoot a flame.
Yeah, there's one that shoots a flame.
That one was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, when she's riding that little dragon shooting flame and then the big dragon head came in, that was part one.
Yeah.
Let's just stop him where he is so that he doesn't switch over to the nostalgia side. I just want one person on my side.
No, no, no. Let him finish.
I'm almost on the cool side
now that
you
know that was not part of it.
It's 50-50, but for the year.
I mean, your vote doesn't matter. It's already got two nostalgia, so it's going to be rated nostalgia.
For the year, I think it's pretty cool. For the year.
What does that mean, though? No, it's got to be, does it hold up today?
No, if it came out today, would it still be cool?
Is it still cool?
But for, obviously, if that game came out today, it wouldn't come out that way, right?
Like, well, the graphics might be slightly improved.
It's also,
I'm trying to say this isn't cool.
Oh, God.
Come on.
It's a victim of its time, maybe. But yeah, if it came out now, no, I wouldn't play it. I wouldn't be.
Because, I mean, like, some of the other stuff.
I would want a lot more things in it.
Even if the Road Rash came out today exactly as it is, maybe the graphics slightly improved, I'd still
play
that.
Yeah,
so.
I think it nailed a core experience in Road Rash and in Turtles in Time also was like just so good. And so seeing that and then looking at this, I'd be like, meh. The 60-40 nostalgia.
So I guess.
Does that mean you're flipping to nostalgia?
All three are nostalgia.
Yeah.
They convinced me in the middle. Yeah. I was going to say it's cool, and then I was like,
the thing I liked that was cool is not part of that game? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So one more left then.
That leaves
Turtles in Time.
Turtles in Time.
I mean, the Ninja Turtles are just cool in and as itself, in my opinion, because I love the story of that and from the comics and the cartoon and the movies, everything. Not all games are always created the same, and I think from at least my childhood, all the games that I remember from Ninja Turtles, this is the first one that was actually good and insanely playable, and as I already said, this weekend I'm going to go buy it so I have it on my current system. So absolutely cool. Feel free to...
All right. I'm just kidding.
Well, I just assume Mike's gonna be like, you said mine's bad, yours is bad.
I want to so bad.
It's not about vengeance, man.
I can't. I mean, this game is awesome. This was the epitome of classic beat 'em up. Like, you couldn't get any better until, you know, Michael's game.
Oh, he left the dinosaurs, now he's going to the pirate ship.
Well, thank you for shilling for me. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Good, man.
I mean, there's so much love that you can tell went into the art, went into the animation. The gameplay is so smooth. It's so well done. It's so action-packed, too. Like, you look at a lot of these other...
passed up right there.
He stepped on that.
Yeah, he stepped on a board and smashed his face.
That's one of those cheap things I was talking about, though. Like, that is absolutely cheap. But you can kind of see it in some of these.
It's a cheap hit.
Some of these. Yeah.
You look at a lot of these other ones that we've looked at, and it's just like, there's not a whole lot going on at any one given time. And in this one, it almost looks like pure chaos.
Yeah.
And whenever you figure it out and you can get past all these enemies, you feel like you really accomplished something. And it's just so fun. So
They come in swinging versus just sitting on a bench waiting for you to punch them.
Right? Yeah. So, I mean, I could go on about the praises about this game, but I'm going to just stop and say it's cool.
I agree 100%. Because I'm not even paying much attention to this.
Not even listening to what you said.
There was a box with fireworks on it, and I was like, is that flaming arrow going to set it off? When is it going to blow up? Like, on the screen at a time, there are like three different varieties of enemies. There's a ranged guy, there's a sword guy, and then there's like a tank guy with a helmet on it, and now guys with guns showed up with rocket launchers. So there's... It is utter chaos, and it looks amazing. Like, and there's so much variety in the moves. I am so surprised that there were so much variety in the moves there. Even the enemy, if you saw that guy, he did a melee attack and swung his gun when he got too close to him.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's so much detail. Like, it's really, really well made. Oh, so you hit it once, and it has a ticker bomb.
Yep.
Nice.
You got guys with a... little spiked frisbees.
Oh, they're off the screen throwing at it. So I am so captivated by just looking at the gameplay.
In other words, this weekend you need to go buy it too.
Yeah. I'm like, I need to get this. Actually, I'm probably trying to emulate it on play it on my iPad in the bed or something.
Completely legally.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, the hot foot. I forgot about that. Did you see that?
Yeah, the little
hot foot. He just stepped on fire and was like,
my foot. He goes, my foot.
All right.
But, like, I've also played, like, other Turtles games that came out, like 15 years ago. And you could play all four Turtles, and, like, the whole my foot made me think of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was very repetitive with the moves, and Michelangelo kept doing this thing where he'd jump up, swing his nunchucks, and he's, like, helicopter down, kicking his feet, and he's, like, going, eat feet, eat feet, eat feet!
Yeah, so the whole game is
so annoying.
Yep. Yeah, and that's actually, like, and as somebody who made a beat-em-up, one of the biggest things is to try to keep annoying stuff from, like, that happen. Not sure if I was very successful with it, but I tried. But anyway, for Turtles in Time, this is absolutely cool. They nailed everything with this. Every aspect that you could ever want in this, like in a beat-em-up, they've got. It's got character. It's got enemies that do different things. They have the Foot Clan, which is the most generic enemy type of all time. And they have tons of different foot types with the different abilities. And you know, mm-hmm. just by looking at them, okay, what they can do. And it doesn't feel generic. And they keep throwing different varieties of enemies at you. And the boss fights are actually unique boss fights. Another staple of the genre that I absolutely dislike is they mostly have boss fights where they just call in other enemies that you've been fighting. You've beat them 100 times already in the level. I hate that. This game doesn't do that. Mm-mm. This game has variety in the moves. Each turtle has their own individual special moves and a couple moves that they can do. The one downside is like they only have that one different move that's different. Otherwise, they kind of play the same other than they have a little distance difference, mm-hmm. which makes Donatello like the best character in this game.
Oh, I mean, he is the best character.
It's Michelangelo, just clearly.
Overall. No.
No, Michelangelo.
Donatello.
Donnie was always my favorite.
But anyway, before we get into a turtle fight here, in the Super Nintendo version, I mentioned earlier the final fight, like, you know, I got it. I was kind of disappointed. I got tired of it pretty quickly. I own this game. I beat it all the time. I would go through and just play it because it was so good. They made it better than the original arcade version. Clearly, the graphics aren't as good as the arcade because it can't be as fluid because it's a small Super Nintendo cartridge version arcade. But they added so much to it. It was just kind of the perfect game, like the perfect beat 'em up. And yeah, this is absolutely
foot riding it on a horse.
Yeah, like just stuff like that. That's absolutely beautiful. Like I wish I actually had the budget and time to have been able to do way more of like stuff like this in our game because it takes so much time to be able to do all of that. And this is just this is the gold standard. So definitely cool.
Part two.
What's that?
You'll do it in part two.
In part two, yeah. Vengeance Hunters 2.
Vengeance Hunters 2.
Now coming 2027.
Now with more budget.
And more vengeance.
Yeah.
What was the Spaceballs sequel supposed to be called?
The Search for More Money.
There you go. Yeah. Vengeance Hunters 2. The Search for More Money.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, no, this is Turtles in Time's absolutely amazing. Great game all around. They nailed it. It's still fun today.
All right. You want to close this out?
I guess thank you everybody for watching, attending,
or
listening to the podcast. Everybody, our host Turtle says thank you for, you know, showing up and, you know, being a part of the community. I guess what's your spiel with the follow us on
Well, before that, I would say I hope everyone had a great time remembering these games.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'm terrible. Right.
We're going to finish out these intros at some
point. Go play
them.
We're still new at it.
Go play these games.
Yeah.
Go play Vengeance Hunters.
Yeah, go play Vengeance Hunters. Go play. And yeah, all these games are actually still worth playing, even though we have nitpicked. You said the right word. We're more nitpicking. These are all classics. These are all great. They're great for a reason. They all introduce concepts that are still, like, to this day, like, things that are used and are fun. So everything from, like, the three beat-em-ups that we talked about to Andy's Road Rash, absolutely all of them are amazing games. So even if we voted nostalgic, that doesn't mean they're bad.
But, I mean, in the end, like, you need to let us know. I mean, what do you think on all of these? Do you greed and nostalgia. You think they're cool. But also, like, just when it comes to vintage arcade games in general, what are some of the ones that you love that, you know, if you leave comments on, we can discuss and give our thoughts on those, too.
Doesn't even have to be the beat-em-up genre.
Yeah. We were only 75% beat-em-up genre today, and the one other game I referenced was X-Men, which is the same thing, yep, but with superpowers. So feel free to reference other games that aren't like that.
But yeah, I mean, please like, subscribe, comment. Engage with us. We want to build a community, and we also want to know if what we're doing is what we should be doing.
So I mean, if there's topics that you want us to do as well, by all means,
tell us what Mike sucks at.
Yeah,
yeah. Clearly, Mike and Jeffrey are like fighting every episode.
We're on opposite.
Every time, go to coolorjustnostalgia@gmail.com and let him know that he's wrong at whatever he says.
Every time Mike has to comment on Jeffrey's, he's like, "All right, let's."
Yeah, he's like, "All right." Every time Jeffrey, how can I get vengeance? How can I hunt my vengeance on what he said?
Wait, did somebody say vengeance?
But absolutely. I'm gonna say, let's close out. Go buy Vengeance Hunters.
Let us know what you think of it, and we'll see you next time.